Adam and Eve, we'll start there because it kind of does start there, right? First, when Adam was alone, you had God say, it is not good for man to be alone. Notice, and this isn't my message, but I'll take avenues when I can. Notice he said man and says, it's not good for anyone to be alone. What I mean by that is there is a gender. He said, man, it's not good for you to be alone at that point. And then what God knew and he had instilled in Adam, which came out of Eve, was the desire, a healthy desire, to be seen. It's okay to talk about ourselves for a minute. To be seen. I mean, he said he wasn't good for man to be alone. So he's like, okay, well, I see, if I'm Adam, I see Eve. And Eve sees me. An awareness of each other. We have a healthy desire to be seen, right? But as we know, they kicked themselves out of the garden. And if you follow the history of things, that Satan doesn't originate anything. He perverts, he repackages things, he resells things to us. He prostitutes what God does. Can I say that word? We're all adults. So, but what he did is he took that self-awareness and began to exemplify it even more and more. And just look at the world today. We've got entertainment. What's the great thing about entertainment? I'm being sarcastic. I love entertainment. I love when cars blow up, things happen, action scenes, whatever. But the reality is stars are stars because they wanted you to be aware of them. They're famous. And social media, it has its good things, but at the end of the day, I need to see what Susie's eating for lunch because she needs to show me. I'm there too, you know. But we got to be very careful that is my desire to be seen greater than my desire for my Father to see me? I'd be very careful with that. So Satan loves that. The whole world is like, look at me, here I am, right where I belong. I mean, reality shows, look, see me. But here's my quick left turn. I truly believe for mothers, it's a mom day message, don't worry. For mothers, they really have that healthy desire is still in them to only be seen to their kids. That's a divine thing. That's a very divine thing. That their focus is my kids. And Mother's Day is a wonderful time. But it can be a sad time for others. Whether if they've lost a kid, a child, lost their mom maybe recently. I mean, there's all that gamut. And we just pray right now that the peace, it's a divine peace. It's not one you can manufacture. It's a divine peace that comes from above through the Holy Spirit that's already in you to shed that in your hearts during these days. Because it hurts. It hurts. And we pray for you in that area of needing the peace that passes all understanding. Because you know at the end of the day, that Abba Father has everything you need in that love for you. But it's tough, I understand. But back to moms that have kids, obviously that's an oxymoron if I I don't have much notes today, so bear with me. But imagine the birth of a child, and again, I can't have a child, right? Can we say I can't have a child? I'm a man. But imagine that my divine, that divine awareness is activated that I only care about that child. We're gonna look at a woman, a mom in the Bible, that she really didn't care to be known. Because when I say her name, many of you may be like, I don't even know, why is she in the Bible? Her name is Joshed, I think. Joshed is the correct, I know that is, the pronunciation, Joshed. And in Hebrew, that means Yahweh glorified. So who's Joshed? Well, her son was Moses, by the way. But she didn't care to be known too much. We're going to read some scripture here. The story of the early days of Joshed and Moses. And see that the mother, Joshed, was willing to risk everything. Because she wanted to be leading God in what God was calling her to do. You see, many of us, men and female, I guess, want God's glory through my story. But if we were to title this message, it's the mom's story for His glory. And what that simply means is I have a story, but it's all for His glory. Nothing else. Nothing else. And this mother purely puts this out, being Moses. Can we put that slide up? Look at that. Her story for His glory. One of the most important people who helped in the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery is largely unknown. Her character in obedience saved thousands and glorified God more than those names we may know. This mother trusted God by letting go. By letting go. Let's jump in. As many of you may know, the Israelites lived in Canaan. And in Canaan, there's a famine there. So the land is not producing food and different things. So they begin to move towards, I believe it's Goshen, towards the Goshen Delta, which is closer to Egypt, as we know. And they're now coming into that area, and they're beginning to grow in numbers because now they're eating and they're cultivating the lush area of Egypt. Well, the Egyptians are starting to get concerned about that we're about to see, because they feel threatened. I'm going to do a message maybe in the summer called Threatened. But they felt threatened. And we're going to pick up in Exodus 1, 9 through 22, I believe. So you have the Pharaoh who is the king of that day, the almighty God almost, people would see, the emperor, the ruler. And you see, we're going to jump in where they're starting to get concerned. So Exodus 1, 9, he said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel," this is the Pharaoh, "now outnumber us and are stronger than we are." Keep going. "We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more." He feels threatened. "If we don't, if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." Keep going. "So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the city of Python and Ramses," named after the famous Ramsey wrestler and Nacho Libre, "as supply centers for the king." Keep going. "But the more the Egyptians opposed them," again, the Egyptians opposing them more, "the more the Israels multiplied and spread," God's people, "and the more alarmed the Egyptians became." Keep going. "So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy." Many of the buildings and architect that we could go to Egypt right now, some of them are built through that slavery. "They made their lives bitter," Pharaoh to the Israelites, "forcing them to mix mortar, make bricks, do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands." Keep going. "The Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shaphira and Puth." Continue. "When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live." Keep going. "But because the midwives fear God," it is great that God's always at work in any area of space of our life, no matter who, if you judge people and say, they're not this, they're not that, but God is still working. Because I've heard this say, God never has problems. He just has plans. But because the midwives fear God, they refuse to obey the king's order. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called the midwives. Why? It must have been an interesting meeting. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? Kudos to the Israelite women. The Hebrew women are not like the Egypt women, midwives replied. They are more vigorous, and they have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. I don't need any anesthesia moms, right? Wow. Keep going. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. Keep going. And because the midwives fear God, he gave them families of their own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All right, 22. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. So he's up in the ante. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River then. But you may let the girls live. So you can see the tension rising, that the Pharaoh is feeling threatened, and he's, although they're pushing on a people in slavery and doing those darn things that are just insane, he's still not letting up. He's now saying, just throw the boys in the river. Let's go to chapter 2, 1 through 10. This is where we introduce to Josh Ed now. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant, Joshed, and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby. Let me camp there for a minute. I know every baby's special. But there must have been some divine intervention that anchored that mom into this boy to say, there's something beyond today that I need to protect with God's help. There's something bigger than just another boy here. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. If I was a mom that was where, had an awareness of, I need to be aware of everybody need to be aware of me. This is what I was talking about earlier. I wouldn't have enough focus on that one child to do what God has called me to do. Let's continue. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket and made a papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. I almost got to think during that time that where her faith is in action here and the trust she's building that, that it's almost similar to many years before with Noah building an ark. Stepping out to say, I've heard the voice of God. It makes no human sense to do what I'm doing, and I'm risking my own life to do this, and fame, and I'm risking everything, my whole community in this. But I feel I'm being led to create this basket in faith with tar and pitch. She, Joshed, puts the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. Keep going. The baby's sister, her name's Marian. Baby's sister stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Go back there, though. I can lose the punch later, but I'll give it now. So Marian actually grows up, because she's a woman, and imagine this, she's seen her brother be let go on the water, but yet many years later, she walks behind him through the waters of the Red Sea. That's a woman that stuck with it. The baby sister then stood, okay, soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river. And her attendants walked along the river. When the princesses saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it for her. When the princesses opened it up, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. So already identified. Then the baby's sister approached the princess, Miriam again. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Miriam was in the mix already. She asked. Keep going. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby. Guess who came? The baby's mother. Josh said, take this baby and nurse him for me. The princess told the baby's mother, I will pay you for your help. God does not have problems. He has plans to make things happen. And if we're obedient, we can benefit from those plans. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. One more verse. Later, when that baby was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. There's a lot there, and I know we know this story in Sunday school. Hey, baby went down the river Nile. I think there were songs about it. But oh my gosh, if you were Josh Ed, you were able to let that go. And God brought him back. It's amazing. It truly is amazing. I know some of your moms are sitting here like, I don't think I could let my child go. And be honest, that's fine. It's a big feat of doing that. I don't see the same trust that Josh had had for my child. And you may not be, I mean, it's 2026, you may not be, so far our government hasn't said we can't have male kids' births, so you're not in that same situation. But there may be other things in your life that you need to let your children go. Doesn't mean you, because that letting go, what Joshua did, she knew God had a plan. And it didn't involve her until the end. But she still trusted. See, her story was for His glory, God's glory. And I would just encourage you, moms, where if you're in that, like, my son's not a baby anymore. Maybe he's 10, 15, 20. I still haven't let them go. And where are you letting them go? Not into the Nile River, obviously. Or Narragansett Bay. But you're letting go that you trust God more than your own control to try and do what you think is right for them. One amen. Thank you. It's tough. It's tough. But you're letting go. Here's some scriptures to encourage you if you're a mother in that place. I think 1 Peter. Did I give you 1 Peter? So knowing this place, that you know, maybe God's been saying, you know, maybe I've been that helicopter parent. Maybe I've been whatever. And it's time to just let go and let God take over and control. 1 Peter, the author said, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Do we forget that God is powerful? Do we forget He's powerful? Almighty God, to do anything. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. I think Joshua had a little honor when she heard, look what Moses is doing. Look what he's done, being obedient. So it's being exact. Here's your prescription. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Give moms, my son, my daughter, Holy Spirit, I don't think they can make it on their own. That's a care. Give it. Don't hold on to it. Give it. Give it. Psalms 55:22. What does that say? Give your burdens to the Lord, moms, and He will take care of you. He will not permit godly to slip and fall. What's the other one I think about prayer in Philippians, was it? Philippians 4:6. I mean, this is to everybody and to myself. Can I preach to myself for a minute? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pastor, you tell me I got my knees? I got to go to work today. No, that's a whole other message. But most prayer that's effective is communal prayer that you're having throughout a day. It's not so much a position, but a posture of the heart. So pray about everything means that should always be your default and always be communion with God at all time. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Pastor John said on Wednesday, was it? Hey, newsflash, God already knows what you're going to ask for. But you just need to connect with Him in that way. Then, see, here's how, I think when we were going through Philippians a while ago, I said, if you want to know how your prayers are answered, if your prayers are being heard, this is what you'll feel. Then you'll experience God's peace. So once I pray, if God is hearing me, there's going to be peace that comes in. That's an answer. That's right. That's a beginning to what you're talking, what you need. Which exceeds anything we can understand, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So moms, no matter what age the kids are, if they're 50 and you haven't let them go yet, let them go. With love, though, under the umbrella of Christ. Under the umbrella of Christ. We are stewards of what God gives us. Then you could be the mom. Don't worry, I won't beat you up too much today because it is your day. Then you could be the mom that maybe thinks, I didn't do enough. I mean, just think of Joshed nursing Moses back. She's got Moses back in her house. Am I doing enough before I give him up again? Just think of that. And those are honest things. Have I done enough? Sometimes they're connected with what we just talked about. But have I done enough? Many times in the Bible, in the New Testament major, it doesn't celebrate when we reflect and reminisce of what we haven't done right. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins and wipe us clean, and we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But when we reminisce of maybe I could have done something better, you're not trusting a God of the future. Does that make sense? If I'm thinking what I did, maybe I didn't do everything I can. And mothers, you have extraneous circumstances sometimes. But maybe I didn't do what I thought I was to do. But then if you reminisce in that too much, you're not having faith in God of the future, of what He still wants to do and is waiting to do. In Luke, Jesus talks about when we put ourselves to a plow. So His parable and His illustration is a plow. Looking forward is what we need to do, not look back. Lot's wife, we know what happened to her. I don't mean to make cynicism out of it, but she didn't go too far after she looked back. You don't want to look back. You cherish memories and things like that. But if you're trusting a God, He's got your better days ahead of you at all times. So we focus in the forward of things. If I haven't done enough, I mean, Josh Ed's a great example of who you didn't know much. I mean, they don't talk about her much, but her act of faith and her trust of letting that basket go, whew, saved a nation. The deliverance, being obedience in that. Another mom, you could say, her name is, it's S-A-L-O-M-E, Salma, or Salva, Salva. So that's her name. And she was hanging out with Jesus, and her two sons were with Jesus. And at one point she says, hey, Jesus, can they sit on your left and in your right? And we know that, right? We know the story mostly. And Jesus comes back and says, I don't think you know what you're asking. So she wanted to make sure she was doing enough for her kids in this road of discipleship that they were venturing into. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking because you're not going to drink from my cup most likely. The suffering, the sacrifice that I have to go through. And then He gives His way out. It's like, hey, this is about God. God appoints us, not really me at the end of the day. We talk about the woman Salma a lot sometimes without her name, but I believe she was just trying to do what's best for her kids to make sure she's done enough in front of Jesus. You know, I know that because I believe, because it's accounted that after that, this woman was at the cross with Jesus and was preparing spices with Mary to go to the tomb of Jesus. So she was all in. And God, and it was becoming her story of trying to get her sons into a place, but it was all for God's glory, because eventually she released them. And we know them as John and James, who made a few writings in the New Testament, because she released them and trusted God with them and knew she did what she could do. And that's amazing moms. There's no perfect mom, but that's an amazing mom that could do such a thing. Mothers, I want to... We look through the whole book of the Bible, and there's so many stories of God's faithfulness to moms, to dads, to male, to female. There's so much in faithfulness. And I want to read a story here, and there's so much in this story, but I really want to focus on that God, for mothers, He will always be faithful to you. He will always be faithful to you, even when you don't think your kids see what you've put in them yet. Because many of the seeds that you've planted in your kids, some of them are, you know, maybe they're not following Christ. But you've probably planted seeds. And most likely there's other people that will help water that and make that grow. And it's amazing. Time and time again, I hear stories of parents in this church of like, I let them go. And they ran into this and that and this and a Christian brother, Christian sister that brought them back into following Christ. He cares, He sees, He's with you, He's faithful in that. Some of you, before I read the story, I can't let this go. Some of you need a little tough love, though. So we're doing a lot of contrasting today, left and right. Some of you, your kids are 40 or 50, and they're still eating your cereal. If you want to do that, that's fine. But let go. Say, hey, it's time to move on. I've stewarded you to be a part of society and do things. So we pray for tough love today in areas that you may need that in doing that. But to really focus on those two women, Joshed and Salvum, they are just amazing that they knew that they have a story, but wasn't about people seeing what they were doing, but it was all for His glory. All for His glory. And moms that can do that is just incredible, because God has great things in store for you. Great things in store. He's got kids coming back. He's got whatever going on for His glory. He will do that. But I want to read this story. And the main context is to show how faithful God still is to show moms, even if they're not here anymore, how much they love their kids. And if you're a child that feels guilty in this story, well, so be it. For 7 years, Sarah's mother worked double shifts as a hotel cleaner, a job that meant she was rarely home in evenings and often too exhausted to talk on the weekends. Probably meant some moms in this room. Sarah grew up feeling overlooked and misunderstood, convinced her mother was bad with money and indifferent to her life because she never attended the school events the daughter had or rarely bought her gifts. When Sarah moved into her new home, her mom brought her old, worn-out sofa as a housewarming gift. Sarah was humiliated. "I don't know what's more embarrassing," she said, "or you or this trash that you've brought into my house." She yelled, ignoring the hurt of her mom's face, quietly turned and left. 8 days later, Sarah's mom passed away in her sleep. While Sarah cleaning out her mom's small apartment, Sarah found the old sofa her mom had used for years. While moving it, she discovered a hidden storage compartment underneath, filled with $32,000 in cash, her mom's life savings. Tucked in the can was a note addressed to Sarah. After your father left, I swore you would never struggle like me. I never told you because you'd made me spend all my money on my medical bills. My heart, I chose over this treatment, my heart towards you. This sofa was the only furniture I owned. Now it carries my life's work to you. Sarah collapsed. The trashy sofa was a legacy of her mom's love towards her. The neglect that her mom was absent in so many things was a secret sacrifice. She realized she had not given her mom gratitude for understanding and dismissing her mom's quiet, invisible kindness until it was too late to say thank you. It's a sad story, but I want to encourage moms. God is still faithful even if you're not around to your kids. He has a plan he can logistify to take care of your kids. Amen? Because he's faithful. Kids, young adults, appreciate your mom. Appreciate your mom. This isn't a sales pitch, but we have a moms group that started recently. I would encourage moms, if they want to feel connected in a safe harbor, to just connect with other moms, no matter what season of life you're in as motherhood, whether you're empty nest, whatever, because you can bring wisdom, as we were talking, Gordon and Debbie mentioned earlier, and what they're doing too. I mean, there's so much wisdom in this room. Mothers, if you're newborns, you didn't get any instructions when you left the hospital. I mean, this is good, the Bible, which will give us life towards it. But you need other communities around you that can help you too. And then even those other moms are helping other moms. It's neat how God works. God does not have problems. He has plans. Mothers, I would encourage you in this final verse. We know it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Paul is writing to the Church of Corinthians, but it can go for mothers today. He wrote in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is all you need. And it even works better in your weakness. Because it's tough to raise kids. But God, and through the Holy Spirit, it can be well produced to do something such as this." Amen? We appreciate you, moms. You are seen. You have a unique desire in you to only really be seen by your kids. Where some of us men don't understand that yet. Because we want to be seen sometimes. That was a joke. But as I said earlier, moms, they want to be known to their kids because they love them so very much. And if you've not been that perfect mom, man, we have a perfect God that builds you up, brings you up no matter where you are, dusts you up and say, "I have a better day for you heading your way. Follow me. I love you so very much." Amen? Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. Don't stand because I'm still doing a few things. We're just so thankful for our moms in this room, online, moms that have passed and gone on, people that even want to be moms but maybe have not been moms. Lord, we just bless this time today. Sanctify it that, God, you are smiling down on our moms. You've given them so much responsibility, but the grace to walk through and walk with it, to help children find their identity, find their purpose, the nurturing, the discipline, the love. And we just want to bless our mothers, Lord, because you've called them to do so many great things. Pierce their hearts with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to do two more things.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Christian Center and on this wonderful Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Wow. It's a special day for everyone. Amazing. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, we're glad you joined us this morning. This is my brother Richard. This wonderful man has come to share his thoughts about today's message also.
Good morning.
And we just wanted to talk a little bit about mothers and the message. And, you know, I have this quote A mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in its path. And Pastor Chris was talking this morning about Moses' mother and how she crushed everything in her path to save her son's life. And look what he did. And we were sharing our thoughts about the message. And Richard has some great thoughts about today's message.
Yeah, the thing that really stood out to me was Jashed, Moses' mother, how she had the courage to let go of her son so that he can have life, actually. And it gave God the ability to use him in years to come to fulfill the promises, some of the things that God wanted to do for the people of Israel. And it was just really amazing to me, the courage that she had to send him down the river while her other child watched to make sure he was safe. As you had stated one time, that there was probably crocodiles and all kind of things, but she had enough trust and wisdom in God to see what was going to happen and allow God promised and purposes to be fulfilled. By her letting go of him and letting that happen.
That's right. You know? That's right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's pretty
amazing. Talk about courage and faith in God. And it made me think of Mary, Jesus' mother. Look what she had to do. She had to let go. She knew from the time he was, before he was born. And what a really tough thing to go through and to watch your your child, grown child, be crucified and go through all of that. It takes a lot of courage. Mothers are very special, and I think that's the crux of it today, the specialness of mothers and what we impart to our children. And I know a lot of you, and we've all been through it, you know, kids that go astray or aren't walking the path you think they should, but you pray for them. We pray for our kids. You pray, and God is watching over those prayers, and he'll see your kids through. It's a process. Yes, sometimes it takes time, and you don't see anything for a while, but he's working on it. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, he's at work. So be encouraged today. Happy, happy Mother's Day. There's a number on your screen. You can text that at any time, and someone will get back to you with whatever questions you have. If you want someone to pray with you, whatever, please text that number. And don't forget Wednesday nights at 7:30 and Sunday mornings at 9:30. We'd love for you to come out, and we'd love to hug on you, spend some time. But if you can't, that's okay. Amen. You know, we're glad you joined us today. So God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a wonderful day.
Happy Mother's Day.
And a great week.
Yes.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.